Hello, my name is Natalie Savelle. Welcome to the Stepmom Strong podcast. This show is for stepmamas or anyone dating a parent, really, all about how to navigate the challenges that come up in this complicated and often underestimated role. I'll be bringing you tips, tricks, validation, and support so that you know that you don't have to feel alone in this role, and there are ways to make things a little less overwhelming. I hope you enjoy. All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the virtual interview series, Empowering Stepmoms, Reimagining the Modern Family. I'm your host, Natalie Savelle of Stepmom Strong Coaching, where I help stepmoms go from overwhelm, resentment, confusion, and stress to confidence, clarity, and connection. And today, I'm super excited to be interviewing and bringing to you Erin Careless. She's great. Welcome, Erin. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So Erin's a PhD. She is a certified step family coach, and she's the founder of Step Life, Step Family Coaching and Support. Her PhD research explored the ways that stepmothers learn to navigate their role, and she's published many articles on stepmothering. Her passion is helping stepmoms find peace within their family and fostering successful co-parenting relationships. Erin has a stepson and stepdaughter and a one-year-old daughter with her husband, Matt. So today, our main theme of the interview is going to be threes and crowd. So how you find your place in a step family with an ex involved and all the challenges that come along with that. So tell me, Erin, what, and the audience, what do you mean by threes and crowd in this context?
Yes. So for a lot of stepmoms, I feel like this is going to be a really, really common theme. We feel as though sometimes that there are three people in our relationship. So if we're talking about a heterosexual relationship, there's yourself and your partner and his ex. And sometimes it feels like the three of you are like hanging out on the couch together, and she has as much say as what's going on in your home as you do, sometimes even more. And it's really, really challenging to find where you fit in terms of parenting dynamics, your role in the family, and establishing boundaries. It's really, really hard to navigate that. It's not just a straightforward relationship anymore. So, and I find that, you know, even though a stepmom has a lot less direct contact with the ex or the mom, that dynamic is the most conflictual in almost every single step family. So, you know, it causes a lot of stress, and there's still very little support and understanding around this, even though there are step families everywhere, which is why this kind of work is so important.
Yeah. And so you actually did your PhD on stepmothering and navigating the role. And we've talked a little bit about, like, just something that strikes me about your work is like the context of historically stepmotherhood and culturally, like, what the expectations are of a stepmom. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, my research, what I wanted to look at was basically, how do we learn to be a stepmom? Like, how do you figure this stuff out? And what I ended up finding was that this was really, really linked to your identity as a mother. So there's a term that we use in the literature called mother work. And that's basically just the labor involved in raising children in a household. So socially and culturally, particularly in this part of the world, we're taught that mother work is still primarily a woman's responsibility. Like, men are very involved, super involved dads. My husband's a great dad, but there's still this sort of social and cultural idea that it's mostly your role. And not only that, but that it's an individual responsibility. So we don't have that sense of it takes a village, you know, that you want more people, more perspective, more inputs in parenting. It's really mom knows best. And very often in that case, dad's kind of the silly, fun parent who, like, dresses them weird and takes them to McDonald's. So his parenting is really devalued in that context. So when you're a stepmom, you come into this role, and as a woman, very often you're pulled into this childcare nurturing role with kids that are not yours and you have no history with. And that comes in direct conflict, a lot of the time with their actual mom, who sees another woman spending time with them and having input into how they're being raised. And it's a really, really fine balance. Like, how many of us have heard, you know, well, you have to be a mom, but not too much, or, you know, you can't be cold to the kids. You have to be warm and loving, but not too much. You know, you don't want to step on anyone's toes. And what I found when I interviewed all the women, they all talked about taking on this parenting role, and all of them said, like, I don't know how this happened. It just sort of started happening gradually. And then now I look back and here I am, and I'm doing lunches and laundry and, you know, everything. And I actually found an article that used that exact term, "it just happened," as describing this kind of nonverbal way that we step into this role. And when our partner is happy and loving and seems happy with the way we're doing that, then it's like this affirmation that we're doing the right thing.
Wow, that is so huge and important. Like, it just happened. I hear it all the time. Like, I don't know how I got here, but all of a sudden I have all this responsibility and I've left myself behind and I don't know who I am anymore. And I'm mad at my husband all the time for some reason. I don't know why, right? Like, we
exactly
hear it all the time. That is incredible. Yeah.
It was mind blowing.
Yeah, it is totally. It's like culturally ingrained in us to just go on autopilot.
Yeah.
So also I hear that that's why the relationship between the mom and stepmom is so challenging, is because both of the women feel that pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I remember Jenna Korf, who is our mentor and trained both of us, said that to me. You know, she's like, a mom doesn't have a baby thinking like, oh, I can't wait to share this child with someone else that I don't know and didn't choose, right? Like, it just because of the simple fact that we got separated, that there's another woman in my child's life. And I certainly didn't grow up dreaming of being a stepmom either. And I don't think very many people do. So because mothering is so intimately linked to women's identity, then our value becomes so completely tied to the way that we do that work. And if we're trying to do that work and we're being pushed back, you know, from the kids or from the mom, and it's not working and we don't even really want to do it, but we feel like we have to do it, then all of a sudden we're a failure as a woman. And there's lots of reasons why it's so complicated. I mean, like, there's jealousy and competition, you know, sometimes, and I know this was the case for me, God love him, but your partner may defer to the ex-wife in his parenting decisions without talking to you. And that happens a lot, especially in the beginning, right? And, you know, he's used to talking to her about all this stuff. And so he just kind of continues doing that. But then when you come into the picture, you're like, whoa, 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 why are you talking to her about parenting decisions within our home when you should be talking to me? So there's so much power struggle, and so much of that, again, is connected to our really core identity as women. So if we're not mothers and we're not mothering, then who are we? And, you know, and when women say like, oh no, I don't want to have kids, they still get the wonky look, like, what's wrong with you? Why don't you want to have kids? So, you know, men don't get that same kind of reaction.
Right. That's such a good point. Yeah. And I feel like I see it so often that stepmoms, they feel the husbands themselves put the pressure on them to
absolutely
be in the mom role. And that can be so, so challenging.
Absolutely. It is. And, you know, one of the hardest things to do as a stepmom is to step back. And I had a really, really tough experience with that myself, because again, I felt like I was failing everyone around me when it was really the only thing I had left in my toolbox to do. And so not only was it incredibly challenging to do in the first place, but then my husband's reaction was not what I expected. And so, you know, he's like, but you're really good influence. And, you know, I love parenting with you and blah, 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 blah. But to me, I felt like I was expected to be a certain level of parent, and he wasn't backing me up in that. So absolutely, pressure from yourself, pressure from your partner, pressure from society. I think it's really interesting when women say that, oh, I don't do any of the parenting. Again, they get looked at like there's something wrong with them because they're not willing to do that work.
Right. Totally. I get that all the time. Yeah. I tell stepmoms, you're going to be judged most likely from somebody in the situation, yeah, no matter what you do. Right?
No matter what you do, someone is going to think what you're doing is wrong. Yeah.
And also just that point that like, it's so challenging because not only are we getting the pressure, but it's wrapped up in our identity. That resonates with me so much. Like how automatically I feel like the house being clean is my responsibility, even if it's my partner's friend or family member who's coming to our house. I'm like, oh, it's a reflection on me.
If totally.
Right.
Totally.
Because and I automatically do that. And then I have to be like, wait. Like,
yep.
It's not necessarily like, it's also, he's just as responsible as I am for how the house is. And even more so if it's his person coming in, like I've literally asked him like, do you care if the house is clean for your dad? You know? And if he's like, no, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to care either. You know?
Yeah.
So, but it is, there's still to blame me. Right. So.
Absolutely. It's like, oh my God, like what kind of house does she keep? Like, what is this, 1950? Like what? And there's two really good examples of that from my research in my interview. So one of the women I spoke to, you know, I asked them about, you know, roles around the house and how they decide who does what. And one of the women said, you know, my husband's really great because he's also pretty tidy and, I don't have to ask him very often. He helps out quite a bit, which is really interesting because when you use the term helping out, it implies that it is her responsibility and he's kind of taking a little bit of that pressure off of her shoulders. And so she's there thinking like, you know, we're totally even split and you know, whatever, but that she has to ask him, again, refers to that mental load too, right? That you're the one thinking about it and you're the one recognizing it has to be done. And that happens with the kids. Like I remember when I started saying like, when did you last have a bath and did you brush your teeth? And I'm like, why am I thinking of this all of a sudden? They're not my kids. Right. And one of the other women I spoke to, I asked her, you know, did gender have a part to play in the ways that they handled childcare and labor around the house? And she said, no, but in terms of the pink jobs, I usually do more of those. And I was just like, I said, oh, I've never heard that term before. And she's like, oh, you know, pink jobs, like cleaning and dishes and laundry. And I thought it was so interesting that she said, no, it wasn't gendered, but I do the pink work. And how that's, you know, how that's a total gender depiction. So it is, again, it's so ingrained in the way we think that without kind of drawing attention to these things, they're never going to change. You know, if we don't accept them or even acknowledge them, then they won't change. And so all of these women who were just wonderful, loving, nurturing, intelligent, hardworking women were like, yeah, how did this happen? All of a sudden, I'm the one totally responsible for their care. At the same time, I'm the one that gets the backlash. You know, I'm the one that gets the backlash from the mom if, you know, I overstep or when the kids grow up a little bit and become teenagers, then all of a sudden they turn and say, you know, well, you're not my mom. I still don't have to listen to you. Even if they've been in their lives for years, right. There's still that kind of fragility about that relationship. So it was just really amazing to me, again, how really, really deeply entrenched those ideas are and how that impacts how we're seen as stepmoms.
Yeah, that's amazing. So why is this helpful to know? Like I could see some stepmoms hearing this and it just like making them mad. Right. And that's,
yeah.
You know, like,
I'm sorry.
You know, maybe their husbands never understand this maybe, or, you know, or they just feel like they can't. Like, so yeah. So what's helpful about understanding?
Yeah. I think so. The first thing is that if you understand it and you acknowledge it and you hear it and you see it in your own life, then you can start to change things a little bit. And I think that there's so many women who are like so stuck and they can't see the way out or the way to change. And like an example, I saw in one of our, you know, many, many stepmom groups that we're in online, the other day I saw a woman posting and saying, the mom dyed the stepdaughter's hair pink and she hates it. And she's like, I think it's totally ridiculous for my stepdaughter to have pink hair, blah, blah, blah. What do I do about this? How do I react? What do I say when I see her this weekend? Blah, blah, blah. And I commented and said, I said, you say cool and move on, because guess what? It's not really up to you. And I think we take on so much responsibility for the kids and so much weight on our shoulders that we just get stuck in this place that we, where we don't have the control that we're seeking. So what I would say to a stepmom is, if you're feeling frustrated and you're feeling angry a lot of the time and stressed and like you don't have any control, then probably what you need to do is step back from the amount of parenting that you're doing, because it's very likely that you're doing so much of that labor and you're not getting the respect that you deserve for that labor, which is what a lot of moms get. You know, like I don't mind doing the extra work for my daughter because I'm her mom and she has to listen to me and she has to love me, you know, but with stepkids, it is different. So I think there's kind of two pieces to this. So I think if you're feeling frustrated and angry, you need to step back from the parenting and let dad step up and do more of that work. And that might lead to change and it might not, but at least you've stepped back and released some of that pressure and that burden from you. And I think the other piece, and we were just kind of talking about before the interview started, is that we have to try and use our best empathy skills sometimes. And, you know, you can kind of think about the mom, the ex, however you see her, and think about what she is experiencing and going through. And I know, again, there's going to be women right now that are like, screw that. No, I'm not doing it. And it is totally like, swallow the lump in your throat hard. It's really, really hard to do, you know, but she didn't get married and she didn't have kids, thinking, again, like we said, that she's going to have to share them with another woman someday. Divorce can be a huge failure for some people. And if you are a strong, competent, successful woman, it can really take a toll on your self-esteem. And, you know, maybe she hasn't moved on and maybe your husband, your partner has, and she's jealous or resentful. And you are a very, very easy target for that anger, unfortunately. So I think 100%, you don't take any negative behavior. You're not a doormat. So you set boundaries to protect yourself from that behavior. But at the same time, having a little bit of empathy and understanding about why she might feel that way can help you to navigate the stress in your life too. Because, you know, anger is like sexy. It's like seductive. Like, to be angry all the time, it is, you know, it's fueling. It feels good sometimes. But it's so damaging to yourself and to your health and your well-being, and ultimately to your relationship. And you might be giving her exactly what she wants if you let that anger erode your marriage. So I guess that's the two big things I would say is step back from parenting, which is also going to decrease the conflict between you and the mom, and let dad take on more of that role, at least for a while, until you kind of renegotiate those boundaries. And then try to, as much as you can, have a bit of understanding for where she's coming from and set some boundaries to protect yourself, you know, from any negative behavior. So you don't ever have to talk to her. I probably didn't talk to my husband's ex for at least a year. You know, we had zero contact and it worked out just fine. And now we're quite friendly with each other. So you don't have to do pickups. You don't have to do drop-offs. You can leave that to your husband, your partner, whoever, and just focus on your marriage and your relationship and you.
So what if the husband has I have so many ways I want to go with what you just said. You just said so much good stuff. But one thing is, what if your husband doesn't agree or understand when you're like, I'm not going to take this on anymore. Drop offs and pickups, for example, that's not something I'm willing to do. It's making me resentful. I need to take care of myself and I can't be a mom in this situation. I'm not their mom. And the husband's like, that's messed up. Right?
Yeah. And that happens a lot. It absolutely does. So I think the biggest thing is that shouldn't be your first step. So your first step shouldn't be like, peace out, I'm done, I'm not doing anything else anymore, before you've had any conversations about it. you know, first step should be, let's sit down and have a conversation about this when we're not angry, when I didn't just, you know, pick up the kids and, or when the house is in a mess, but like, let's set a time to sit down and talk about how I'm feeling about my role in this family. And truly, he probably doesn't know how you're feeling, right? He's probably thinking, this is amazing. It's like a new little family. I'm so happy. The kids are happy. She's obviously happy because why wouldn't she be? And everything is going great. So definitely have some really open and honest and gentle conversations in the beginning. Don't use that as your time to vent about like how much you dislike his children or, even leaving the ex out of it, you know, even if you just say, it just, this doesn't quite feel right for me. I don't feel like I have enough of a connection with them to take on this kind of parenting role, but I really, really want to support you in being the best dad that you can be. And so it's kind of approaching it in a more gentle way. If after time though, you don't see that there's any changes or, you know, he's not supporting you or he's not having the kids treat you with respect, that's when you have to sort of set some firmer boundaries. And he's probably not going to like it. I mean, when I first said that to my husband, he was like devastated. Like, what do you mean? Like, it feels like you're leaving our family. And you know, and it's certainly not the ideal way to live. But if you are feeling anger and resentment and frustration and unhappiness every day, it's not going to work that way anyway. Right. So I would say just try to have open and honest conversations, gentle conversations in the beginning, and say, unless I feel a little more supported, or, you know, if you can do this for me, that will help me a lot.
That's huge. Yeah. Yeah. If you can also support me in this parenting thing that I'm trying to do.
Exactly.
So often that's not happening. The stepmom's like taking it on and the dad's not doing the same stuff. So
it's
a lot of burden on the stepmom. So yeah, I think that's a really good point. Like, if you can do this with me, then I'll keep doing it. But if you can't, then I'm just not going to. And then I also think it's like a loving limit, right? So it's like, I know this is hard for you. It's not ideal. It's hard for me too. And this is what I have to do, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Now, not like forever, you know, things change and people grow and things shift, right? The other thing, well, I noticed that you talked about control, and that's a big one, right? And I think, is the controlling, that's like part of the motherhood identity, is almost like having full control.
Absolutely. That's why there's so many issues and problems, because again, like, you're kind of brought up with these ideas that, you know, mommy knows best and mommy's the only one that can take care of you. So these, you know, what we would say, like, this ideology of mothering, like how you mother in society, is so damaging for everyone. Like, it's damaging for the mom who has this ton of pressure on her shoulders to, you know, keep the home, raise the kids, probably work outside the home or be an entrepreneur or both, as we know. There's so, so much, and it all comes down on her. So it's really damaging for her. It's damaging for dad, whose role is diminished. And we see that in how things play out in the court system, that dad is, you know, usually not favored in that kind of situation. And then of course it's damaging for stepmom, because she's associated with dad, who's kind of the lesser parent, and because she's a woman, she's supposed to fill in that gap.
Yeah, right.
So it's damaging for everybody.
Yeah. Gosh. And when we talk about it, it's like, it's very complicated and it's very challenging, and it's no wonder that so many stepmoms have such a hard time. And you're even talking about, like, when you're talking about the ex, you're not even talking about like a high conflict personality. You're talking about like a reasonably healthy person who's just having a hard time with the new dynamic.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I would say, like, I mean, there absolutely are people who have personality disorders and who are extremely high conflict. Like, those people exist. In the research, that number isn't really super, super high. It's about the same as the amount of people who have like a really great relationship with the ex. So the same amount of stepmoms who are like buddies with the ex-wife is about the same amount of stepmoms who deal with this with a genuinely high conflict personality disorder ex-wife. And there's a huge chunk in the middle that range from you know, civil or business-like to pretty damaging and to, you know, aggressive and disliking each other. So that's kind of the majority where people fall under. It's just that because, again, these things, these situations are so connected to who we are and really deeply entrenched that we kind of, we feel them with every part of our body, right? And, yeah. And I think the biggest thing to remember too is it comes down to, like, conflict is the most single damaging thing for a kid to grow up with. Mm. So there's definitely, I know I've done it and I know you've done it and probably almost every single stepmom has done it. There's a time when you just have to swallow it and say, you know what? I like this kid more than I hate her. And I'm going to live with that because I don't want to put that kid through conflict. Even if she's dragging that kid through the mud, I'm going to be the better person and say, no, I'm not going to do that to this kid just because they're a kid and they don't deserve it. Right. And it's also your marriage too. Like, I love my husband more than I dislike the challenges of being a stepmom. So I'm going to remember that on the really, really hard days and think about the good things that he does for me and what a great dad he is. And, you know, I look at my daughter and my stepkids and how much they love each other. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. You know, I can swallow it and I can move forward. And again, I really want to stress that that does not mean that you take a bunch of crap, you know, and you're not the carpenter who has to fix what's broken.
Right.
You have to protect yourself.
Put yourself in the line of fire. Like, that's
exactly, exactly. But there's a difference in that and perpetuating more conflict. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't serve anyone to do that, right?
I love that. Yeah. And, oh, I lost my train of thought for a moment. Yeah, that's so good. You said so much good stuff, Erin. I love it.
We could talk for like 3 hours and we would scratch the surface. But I think it's if you know this is really common and you know that there are reasons behind why this is so hard, sometimes it can help make it a little bit easier to bear.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say that I think that's why I really stress like self-awareness, because this stuff is so ingrained that it can take over in a moment, right? Like, it takes over me all the time. I have to constantly check myself or backtrack or like, whoops, I'm engaging in drama again, or whoops, I'm taking over responsibility a little too far now. Like, because it's so ingrained that even if we know it intellectually and we've learned the skills maybe and we've had the coaches, like, it does. It takes like a constant self-awareness piece, which is why this is such a good role for personal growth, you guys, because... because it doesn't take that constant awareness, because the ingrainedness of it just will snap right into it in a moment if we're not aware that it's, you know, of when it happens or, you know, of how easily it does happen. So
it is so true. And like, I want to tell you one really quick thing about that, because I think, again, like you're saying, we read it, we study it, we've trained in it, and it still happens. Right. And last year when I had a hard time and I was trying to step back, I really struggled with it so much. And I was really lucky. I was talking to Patricia Papernow, who wrote the Surviving and Thriving in Step Families book. I had a few conversations with her and I was telling her about this and how I was really struggling to let go. And what she told me is that in that case, in her practice, she has the person look within and see what it is about the individual. Like, what is it about me that's preventing me from stepping back? It's nothing to do with them. What is it about me? And when I did that work, I realized it was really deeply connected to some issues that I had from much earlier on in my life, where control was a really, really big factor.
Yes.
So because of that, I was really reluctant to give up the control that I had kind of developed for myself in my role in my family. So exactly what you're saying, that, you know, we're so quick to look at, well, she did this and the kids do this and my husband this and that. But sometimes it's really looking inwards at,
why do I need to have so much control over
it? Exactly. Why can't I let this go?
Right. Yeah, that's such a good point. Thank you for bringing that up. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Tell the audience what your free gift is today and how to get it.
Yes. So I have put together what I call 10 tips for managing your mothering expectations, which kind of talks about all of these things and, you know, this pull to mothering and how we can kind of negotiate that as stepmoms. So if you just send me an email, and I'll give you the email address, but it's steplife@yahoo.com. If you shoot me an email, I will send that to you. And if you want to chat, you can email me again. And I love stepmoms. So that's what I'd like to offer today.
Yay. Awesome, Erin. Well, thank you so much for being here. I'm sure everyone got a lot out of all the valuable insight and knowledge that you have shared. So thanks so much. And we'll
thanks.
See everyone soon. Thanks for watching. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Natalie here. I hope you've been enjoying this podcast. I hope it's inspired you to use your challenges for growth. And I'm so glad you've gotten to listen. And I also hope it helps you realize that you're not alone or crazy. It is a very challenging role to be in a step-parenting position. So I wanted to be sure to invite you to my free Stepmom Strong Facebook community. It's a group of stepmoms who are also in a growth-oriented mindset. The women in there are amazing supports to each other, so make sure you check it out. You can head to www.facebook.com/groups/stepmomstrong. And be sure to answer the entry questions when you request to join. Otherwise, you will not be let in. So seriously, be sure to answer those so I can let you in. I'd love to have you join us. Again, it's a great group. So I hope you'll come find us on Facebook/groups/stepmomstrong. No spaces or underscores or anything. All right, thanks. Thanks again for listening. And I look forward to seeing you in there. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.